We're discussing the role of Amber Alerts and the evolution of this emergency child abduction alert system here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Glad you could join us. According to Amber Alert Wisconsin, on average, 13 children per day are reported missing to law enforcement throughout our state. And the State Justice Department decides whether to issue an alert based on several criteria that we'll learn about. Have you noticed an uptick in Amber Alerts? What do you think when you hear or see an Amber Alert? Do you pay attention? It's 800-642-1234. Jennifer Price Lehman is program manager for the Amber Alert Training Program at the National Criminal Justice Training Center of Fox Valley Technical College. She was formerly commander of the Wisconsin Department of Justice Child Abduction Response Team and director of the DOJ Division of Criminal Investigation Special Operations Bureau. Jennifer, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for having me back.
Good morning. Wisconsin DOJ last month said there's been a massive spike in Amber Alerts this year, going from an average of 3 a year to 11. What do you make of the rise?
You know, that's a really hard question to answer, and there's no easy answer. Up to this point, as you know, and many of your listeners know, we have not had nearly this many Amber Alerts in this state. And while it's alarming, it's good to know that we have the Amber Alert program in Wisconsin, and we have other programs in Wisconsin that support missing and endangered children. But it's really hard to say what pinpoint a specific reason or a trend that can contribute to this rise in Amber Alert activations in Wisconsin. We know that the majority of Amber Alerts across the country involve a parental abduction. Mm. Last year alone, there were 200 Amber Alerts and 125 of them involved a family abduction. But that doesn't necessarily mean that there's a cause and effect relationship between domestic violence, for example, and child abductions and parental abductions specifically. Does that mean there may be instances or families where there might be an increased risk for a family abduction? Maybe. But we just need to be careful not to paint a broad brush mm-hmm. when it comes to cause and effect relationship between the occurrences and incidences of child abductions and domestic violence, for example. But we do know this. The Amber program works across the country, including in this state. It's been around for a long time. And there's a great process in place that the Wisconsin Department of Justice has implemented and really improved on. Every time there's an Amber Alert, there's an after action to really just take a look at the facts of the case, what worked, are there areas that can be improved, just to make sure that we know in this state that there's always a really effective Amber Alert program that we can use to try to find our missing children.
What I'm hearing from you is that we shouldn't be too quick to draw some causations here or inferences to what is really behind the numbers this year. It might be too early to really figure out what is going on. Can you help us understand these decisions that go into issuing an Amber Alert? What is the criteria used in Wisconsin?
Sure. The criteria in Wisconsin is very similar to the criteria in the other states in the United States. And it is this. There are three criteria. One is that the child is age 17 or younger. Two, there's enough descriptive information for the Amber Alert to be activated to be able to find the child and the abductor. And three, is the child in danger of death or great bodily harm? Now, those first two criteria are pretty easy to meet in any missing child investigation, right? We know that it's a child, and we know what the child looks like. We don't have to have a vehicle description if there's a suspicion that the child was taken in a vehicle. We don't have to have a license plate. We don't have to have all that descriptive information. We know what the child looks like because the parent or guardian has called law enforcement and reported the child is missing. So those first two criteria are pretty easy in every Amber Alert activation request from law enforcement. Where there becomes sometimes some gray areas is that danger of death or great bodily harm, particularly in the cases of parental abductions. And so the Wisconsin Department of Justice has to evaluate every case on the merit of the case based on the information that law enforcement is providing from all of the information that they've gathered up to that point in the investigation to be able to determine, is that child in danger of death or great bodily harm? Because what we don't want to do is issue an Amber Alert so many times that the public is sensitized to hearing that alert, and then they don't pay any attention to it.
Right, we become immune to it and don't pay attention to it. If you're just joining us, we're talking with Jennifer Price Lehman, Program Manager for the Amber Alert Training Program at the National Criminal Justice Training Center. And we're looking at the evolution of Amber Alerts, what to make of the ones that we have had this year, with your questions as well along the way, 800-642-1234. Jennifer, it felt like last month in the race to locate missing and endangered 3-year-old Major Harris in Milwaukee that the frequency of the Amber Alerts in this case, which ended in tragedy, that they came one after another that fateful weekend. How does it work to issue multiple alerts for a single case?
Sure. So the technology that Wisconsin uses for issuing Amber Alerts is threefold. It's the emergency alert system, which is the tone you hear when you're watching TV or listening to the radio when there's an Amber Alert. And that goes off once every 30 minutes for the first 2 hours and every hour for the following 3 hours. There's the wireless emergency alert, and that's the tone that you hear on your cell phone. And that in Wisconsin is actually issued through the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. So Wisconsin partners with NCMEC, as it's known, to issue that wireless emergency alert. And then thirdly, Wisconsin has the Wisconsin Crime Alert Network. And if any of your listeners have ever received a crime alert, that's the third area where Wisconsin issues an Amber Alert, just to make sure that all of the areas are covered. Now, there's also secondary distribution, for example, the lottery terminals or the DOT highway signs, digital billboards, social media. Those are all areas where you'll see the Amber Alert when it's been activated so that there's no gaps, right? The goal is to have no gaps in that dissemination so we have the most eyes we can trying to find that child.
Going back to the wireless piece, the vast majority of Americans, 97%, now own a cell phone of some kind, and the share of us who own a smartphone is now at 85%. That's data that published this year from Pew. How does the ubiquity of wireless devices in our pocket affect Amber Alerts?
Yeah, that's a great question. And actually, most recently, the URLs for websites have been able to be added to those wireless emergency alerts. And that is even, I mean, if you think about the last time that you received an Amber Alert on your phone, what do most people want to know? They want to know, oh my gosh, what does this child look like? And you can't put a photo into a wireless emergency alert, but you can put a link to a website or to a social media site where that child's photo is there. And then you can see the photo, you can see a vehicle if there is one, you can see a suspect photo if there is one. And that allows for a much quicker response to be able to find this child. And really that's the idea behind the Amber Alert program is to get as many people as possible to see that child's face and be able to help law enforcement find that child as quickly as possible. And really, the wireless emergency alert and the proliferation of cell phones now is really a very effective way to do that.
We're discussing Amber Alerts, the Emergency Child Abduction Alert System, with Jennifer Price Lehman, the program manager for the Amber Alert Training Program, part of the National Criminal Justice Training Center in Appleton. Do you work in law enforcement? What are your thoughts on Amber Alerts? Do they help? How could the system be more effective in locating a child in danger? Join in 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Jennifer Price Lehman here on the Ideas Network. We're talking about the Amber Alert system, the emergency messages issued when a law enforcement agency determines that a child has been abducted and is in imminent danger. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. According to nationwide data from the Justice Department, close to 1,100 children were rescued specifically because of an Amber Alert. That's this year's data ending in July. What questions do you have about the wireless emergency alert program we've been talking about? What have you noticed about the frequency of alerts and the information provided? Join in 800-642-1234. Jennifer Price Lehman runs the Amber Alert Training Program, part of the National Criminal Justice Training Center, housed at Fox Valley Technical College, with us for about 9 more minutes. Jennifer, you found yourself in this line of work after a family tragedy. I'm wondering, can you share your story with us?
Absolutely. Thanks for asking. So when I was in college, I decided I wanted to be a fashion designer.
At UW-Madison.
Right, at UW-Madison. And this was 1994. And I received a call from my mom, and she told me that my cousin Chris, he was 14 at the time, was missing. So, you know, at that point, I thought, what can I do? Because you feel helpless, right? I was in Madison at the time, and Chris had gone missing from Baraboo, not far, but still, right? There's only so much I could do. So I started disseminating posters. And my mom had called me then. I remember that day, and it was he went missing on July 4th, and it was several days later that she called and said, "You know, stop putting up posters. Chris's body has been found." And so, at that point, that was a pivotal point for me, because I felt like maybe I could do more. And so I changed my major, and from there I graduated with a degree in behavioral science and law, and a minor in criminal justice, and then moved on to law enforcement. And from there, from working in patrol, I worked then started at the Wisconsin Department of Justice. And, you know, for my family, really the biggest questions were why? What happened? And it was about a year after Chris's body was found, another boy in Baraboo. He was 13. He went missing. And thank goodness, his name was Thad. Thad was rescued. It's a horrific story. He was taken by a young man named Joe Clark, and Joe held Thad captive in his home and broke his legs and tortured Thad. And thank goodness Thad was able to crawl to a phone in the home when Joe was gone, and he called law enforcement and they rescued him. Where my cousin's story comes in is during his torture, Thad recalled Joe talking about having done this to my cousin Chris earlier. And so at that point, Chris's case was reopened and his body was exhumed, and we learned that his legs were also broken. And he was thrown in the river with broken legs and left there to die. And, you know, back in 1994 and 1995, we didn't have the Amber Alert, not only in the state, but we didn't have it in this country. And, you know, I often wonder if there was an Amber Alert program, might it have helped? And I can't help but think that maybe it would have. I'd like to think that it would have. But at least we were able as a family to know what happened with Chris.
You could have and some also closure.
And Joe Clark was tried and convicted and is serving a 100-year sentence in the Wisconsin state prison system. And so that gives me comfort knowing that he will never hurt another child again.
We're talking with Jennifer Price Lehman, program manager for the Amber Alert Training Program, which is part of the National Criminal Justice Training Center in Appleton. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Your questions and stories about Amber Alerts. Fast forward to 2018, the case of Jamie Kloss, where a 13-year-old girl in Barron County abducted, later found alive. What was the impact of Amber Alerts in Jamie Kloss's situation?
Well, that became such a widely known case, but particularly in the early stages of that investigation, the Amber Alert was used to really leverage the public and all of the eyes and ears in rural Barron County. The Amber Alert was able to touch so many people to be able to try to find her. And then what happens often, most times, when an Amber Alert is issued, particularly in a case where we have a missing child, but we have no other information to share with the public based on the investigation at that point, that tips will start flooding in. And that's a great thing, right? Tips where, oh, I think I saw her here, or I think I saw her there. And what that does is that gives law enforcement an opportunity to find other ways to locate that child that maybe they hadn't learned of as part of the investigation. And so all of these tips that are coming in are just other leads that can contribute to the entire investigation. So I've always said, no information is too little or insignificant when it comes to a missing child, and don't ever hesitate to call when you think you might have seen a child, and particularly in the case of Jamie Kloss, there were so many tips that came in and allowed law enforcement and our child abduction response team at the time to really saturate the area and focus our efforts to try to find her.
Today, you run the Amber Alert training program. Can you tell us about this training program and what it does?
Yeah, absolutely. So the Amber Alert Training and Technical Assistance Program offers a wide variety of training. We offer virtual, live instructor-led training, on-site classroom training. We have live and recorded webinars, and we have self-paced e-learning modules that are all designed for criminal justice professionals and child protection workers, anyone who's working in the area of missing and abducted children, to be able to give them the tools and resources necessary to just enhance the programs that they already have or give them help in creating new programs, whether it's a child abduction response team or enhancing their clearinghouse for missing and exploited children. We provide whatever training and resources that those programs need across this country. And then we also work closely with the tribes in this state and across the country in the implementation of the Ashland Mike Amber Alert and Indian Country Act to make sure that the tribes and states are integrating and implementing the Amber Alert plans within Indian Country, because we know that so many children across this country in Indian Country go missing, and want to make sure that the state Amber Alert plans are working in conjunction with that. And then lastly, we work directly with family members of missing and abducted children and integrate their experiences and perspectives into our trainings. And that provides a trauma-informed and victim-centered approach to responding and investigating to missing children cases, so that we, all of our training attendees, understand the impact that these, that their work has on the families of these missing children, and that that then too contributes to our ability to be able to enhance the program over time based on what we learn from the family members, what worked, what didn't work.
Jennifer, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Jennifer Price Lehman, Program Manager for the Amber Alert Training Program. News update is next here on the Ideas Network.